you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm your Murray Hill hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth.
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood. To lick it right, lick it good. Show you how to.
Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets. So open wide, honey. I'm coming.
In Yo Mouth.
I got the goosebumps.
Hey there, and welcome back, folks. Once again, I'm your hostess with the mostest, Munoz. And what is going on, people? What is going on? Listen, I don't often get too, like, serious on this podcast. You know, like, sometimes we delve into, like, serious stories or whatnot. But what's happening in the world right now is, like, has really affected my heart. And, you know, I kind of try to stray away from politics on the podcast or, like, the news cycle on the podcast. But what happened to these Asian women last week was horrific. And I wouldn't be authentically me if I didn't, like, just, you know, mention it and mention that we need to protect our Asian American Pacific Island brothers and sisters. We need to protect our trans brothers and sisters. We need to protect our Black and brown and indigenous brothers and sisters. Like, I don't understand that, how we got here. I mean, I do, but, like, during this entire pandemic, we've been, like, you know, the thing that I keep preaching about this is that we have learned to take care of one another through this pandemic. We've learned to, like, count on our neighbor through this. And then, like, then there's this BS that's happening. I don't know, but I needed to mention it, and I just needed to get it off my chest for a second, and we'll move on. But I really want to honor these women and honor our Asian American and Pacific Islander brothers and sisters today on this podcast, because, like I said, it just needs to be said, and we need to protect everybody, but especially them right now, because shit is crazy. So moving right along, you know, I just needed to get that off my chest, and we're going and we're moving, y'all. It's a great day here on the pod. It's raining here in New York, but, you know, things are good. The podcast network is going good. Your girl Munoz is doing the most on the Instagrams and whatnot. And, you know, life in my 120 square feet of Times Square space is good. I've been cooking more than ever. I've been feeding my soul more than ever. I've been taking care of myself, my soul, my mind, my body better than ever these days. And I feel like I'm in a good place. News cycle aside, you know, because, you know what I mean, y'all? You know what I mean? And I'm just going to get to the getting on, because I'm really, really excited for today's guest, because much like me, this lady lays down the law when she needs to, and she can throw down in the kitchen. In Your Mouth, listeners, please help me welcome the one, the only, from my butch kitchen. Well, not my butch kitchen, her butch kitchen itself, Sarah Olson. Say hi.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited to be here today.
I'm so excited to have you, and I can't wait to start. And you know what? I know this pod started on a serious note, but I really just, you know, we just have to I think, I hope you would agree that we just have to like take care of each other more. And I don't understand why that concept is beyond some people.
I have been asking myself that question. And again, we won't get into the politics of it, but
yeah.
You know, what happened to kindness? What happened to generosity? And what happened to looking out for one another? You know, everyone's so scared to step out of that box. And I think that's what's so important about, you know, the way that you're presenting things. It's, you know, giving people the power to step out of the box.
Yeah, you have, In Your Mouth listeners, I have, Sarah has, you out there have the power to make change. I am a living testament of that in itself with the work that I do for kids over Christmas and some other stuff I do throughout the year. You can make a difference out there, right? And you can stop, you know, like, listen, don't get in anybody's way if they seem crazy. That's not what I'm saying. But like, you know, you can make change. You can be like, hey, no, we're not doing that, right? And keep it trucking.
Oh, and even little things as just smiling at somebody and saying hello.
Yes.
It can start with just a hello.
Hello. Yes, Sarah. Yes. Preach the good word. You know what? One thing that I learned a long time ago is someone taught me to see people beyond their service. And
absolutely,
that really resonated with me because I was already kind of doing that. But like, you know, you get into a taxi cab and you're like, take me downtown. And you're not like, well, that's a person, right? Hey, how are you? Can you take me to such and such a place? Or you go to Starbucks. I need a grande such and such and such and such. No. Hey, how are you today? Oh my God. Can I please have, right? And that,
yes,
that response from people, especially like when I do it and like people like take a double take, meaning being like, oh wait, are you really asking me how I am? Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's just being human.
It really is. It really is. And thank you for coming down that road with me for 2 minutes, right? In Your Mouth listeners, if you don't know Sarah, and you probably do already if you're on the TikToks, because she is, and if I may use this term that I learned from Courtney Rada last week, a big celesbian.
That's a new one for me, but I'll take it.
I love it. I told her, put it on a shirt, a celesbian.
Yeah.
Sarah's fascination with cooking started when she was just 4 years old, and almost 40 years later, the magic of food and the desire to educate and entertain is still very much alive. By occupation and education, Sarah is a business consultant who spends her days working with women and minority-owned businesses, helping them grow and become economically self-sufficient. Yes. The mornings, nights, and weekends are dedicated to food and family, which is the heart behind My Butch Kitchen, which is her brand, right? But before we get anywhere, right, because we've already been deep down a road here, Sarah, I need to wish you happy National Chocolate Covered Raisins Day.
How do they get a day?
You tell me, girl.
I don't know. Raisins are not an ingredient that are allowed in my house.
Oh, really? Not nature's candy?
No. Like strawberries, yes. You know, dry me some bananas, yes. But raisins, no. I just cannot get down with raisins.
Not even a catch some rays in nuts.
No, not my jam. My mom would totally get down with them, but me, no. Raisins aren't my thing. I'll get down with the chocolate, though.
All right. What about a currant?
I can get down with the currant.
But isn't a currant a raisin?
It's a different type. There's an added sweetness that to me conquers the texture issues with that dried out lump of coal.
Not a dried out lump of coal. Okay. Like, I love a golden raisin, you know, like, and you like soak them in tequila like overnight.
So now you're talking my language. That's something I've never done, but it is something that I could see myself doing.
All right. I may need you to dedicate like 15 seconds of your TikTok to soaking some tequila raisins just for yours truly and this podcast.
Absolutely. It'll be an in your mouth raisin.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello. I put it in my mouth, honey. I put much worse up in there. So, but, listen, we are off to the races today.
We are.
A shot out of a cannon. But listen, no, because listen, tequila-soaked raisins, let's just go down this road for a second. Entertain me. You know, they're very versatile, like your hostess with the mimosas here. You know, you could throw them, like, on a dish, like maybe, like, some sort of fish or scallop dish, like, and work it in with the savory because you have a little bit of sour sweet. Or maybe you could throw them, like, in a cookie or something and have that, like, sour sweet, like, alcohol-y, you know?
We'll see what my maniacal brain can do with it.
Right? Well, listen, you do all the things up in the kitchen, right? So I would trust you that you can... It's a versatile thing, and you may not be here for National Chocolate Covered Raisin Day, but you know what? I'm on the fence with it. I kind of like a chocolate covered raisin, or a, you know what? Last week was St. Patrick's Day, and I had Irish soda bread, and unbeknownst to me, I don't really love Irish soda bread, but there were raisins in it, and I was like, this should be good because there's raisins in it, but it wasn't very good to me.
Huh. And that's bizarre. I love Irish soda bread, especially with some fresh butter.
It was the caraway, I think.
That'll do it. I mean, caraway is definitely one of those flavors that either you like or you don't.
Well, I do like it, just in other venues, other vehicles. I feel like it was like the caraway and like the actual like soda bread itself, which was kind of sweet and not sweet, and then the raisins. I was like, this bread is trying to be like the most extra drag queen I've ever met. Like, there's too much happening.
It's the backstage at a drag show.
It really is just doing the most till it gets out on stage. But you know what? No matter what you celebrate out there, apparently today is National Chocolate Covered Day. And if this is what you're celebrating, we accept you here.
Absolutely.
We don't discriminate. And Sarah, did you know that in 1971, in defiance of the U.S. Immigration and Naturalization Service, a federal judge grants U.S. citizenship to a 24-year-old gay man from Cuba, ruling that an applicant's homosexuality cannot in itself bar a person from becoming a citizen.
That is amazing.
Right?
You know, back in the 70s when there was carte blanche to, you know, do these injustices, having a landmark ruling like that, I mean, it changes the face.
It really does. And going back to our original conversation about humanity and kindness and like just seeing people as people, right?
This
kind of brings us full circle, and I love that this was this moment in gay history today. I love these little tidbits, and I don't know about you, but one of my favorite things that I found out about Sarah, In Your Mouth listeners, when I approached her about being on the podcast, I usually send people I'm pursuing as guests an episode or two and some information, and Sarah just comes in the DMs and it's like, oh, I know who you are already. I'm a subscriber, which warmed the cockles of my heart. It really, really did. Because, you know, y'all out there, sometimes you like to slide in my DMs. More often than not, you're quiet. And it was just a beautiful moment. And I had to say I had to say live on air that thank you so much, because it really meant a lot to me.
Absolutely. And I love how you split up and you do give the gay history and you do give you highlight one of the foods. You know, it's a well-rounded thing. And I love the emphasis on queer culture. You know, queer culture, queer history is often overlooked.
Yeah. And we don't have a space for ourselves like this. And so when I and the listeners, I'm sure, are tired of me squawking about this. But, you know, when I set out solo to do this, I was like, this is going to be big, gay, campy, fun, whatever. And it kind of morphed and grew into this space where we share our stories. You get to share your stories and shine and show the world a different sector of the community that's beautiful and kind of, you know, tailoring how we eat and how we think about food, you know, like there isn't a space that. And so to be at the helm of this ship, you know, is really, really special to me.
It is. And you giving so many other people voices, you know, like myself, this is an opportunity that I could have never expected a couple months ago. So it's super exciting for me, and to be visible, you know, it's huge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about it. You are more than visible, honey. Right? You are the most visible these days. And I live for My Butch Kitchen. Actually, shout out to my gay bartender who was like, have you discovered My Butch Kitchen? If you haven't discovered My Gay Bartender, Sarah, I need to connect you. Too,
yes,
because
absolutely.
You two are TikTok stars and some of the best, some of my favorite content to watch as I scroll through in the evening. But I want to start at the very beginning and talk about this fascination with cooking at just 4 years old. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so my mom is a tremendous cook. I grew up in on a farm. My parents are farmers to this day. But my mom is a phenomenal cook. And I need to ask her, but she was, she used to teach some cooking classes, and she was teaching a cooking class in town. And we, of course, didn't have babysitters. So I went with her. I was 4 years old. And I remember mom making cream puffs and pastry cream. And it, being in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, that was such a decadent, luxurious, you know, almost exotic, you know, type of dessert. And to watch my mom command that room with knowledge, it was phenomenal, you know, and I just sat there in awe, and I saw my mom in a new way, and it was amazing. And so it just kept going.
Yeah, I love that. I absolutely love that. You know, we talk a lot on this podcast, as you well know, about our parents' influence on us and like through coming out and through cooking and watching and just watching that magic happen in the kitchen. For those of us who had parents that cook, and even those of us who didn't have parents that cook, because that's a whole nother side, being like, oh, they couldn't cook. But like, I kind of had to navigate this myself and found a different love differently. Why do you think it is that food like that with parents that cook have such an impression on us at such a young age?
You know, to me, it's the bringing together of all the senses. There, you know, there's a visual aspect, you know, what it looks like in your plate. There's smells, you know, derived memories. And, you know, when you walk into a house where Thanksgiving dinner is being made, or when you walk in and somebody's made cinnamon rolls, it automatically takes you to a place. And usually, more often than not, those are happy memories. So it just creates this visceral reaction inside of you, and it makes you feel good.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I went to visit my mom last week for St. Patty's Day, and my Puerto Rican mother always makes corned beef and cabbage, right? And
I love
boiled
it.
Potatoes. It was my grandmother. She learned it from my grandmother, and so on and so forth. It was just a thing. And just walking into the house on St. Patrick's Day and having it smell like corned beef, I was just like, oh my God, this is so specific of a memory. And I love that food smells, and even like certain foods, at least for me, I can bring back, I can recall what it tastes like and what it smells like. Can you do that? Like,
absolutely. Like,
you know, do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite food sense memory?
My mom's caramel rolls.
Caramel rolls. What is a caramel roll?
So it's just like a regular cinnamon roll, but on the bottom it's caramel and sometimes pecans. Then you place the rolls on top of that, let them proof, again, bake them, and then you flip the whole thing over.
Oh, so, like flan, you know, like flan, like you do with flan.
Yep. It over just like a flan, but so it, they also call them sticky buns. They go by many different names, but it's
yes, cool. They used to call me sticky buns at one point too.
Oh my! Oh, that is a story for another time.
Yeah. It could be a story for now, but this isn't about me. This is about you.
I'm flush now.
In your mouth, listeners, Sarah almost fell out her chair. I wish you could have seen it.
I need a fan.
Oh, my God. It's not summer yet, girl. It is not summer yet. All right. So you know, you have this fascination with your mom's cooking, the sticky buns, right? Or the caramel rolls, as we will call them, to be PC about it, are really like, you know, just fostering this passion. Do you remember what the first thing you made was?
The first thing I made by myself were chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, packaged chocolate chip cookies or chocolate chip cookies from scratch?
Honey, when I was young, they didn't have packaged chocolate chip cookies. That wasn't a thing.
Oh. Okay.
At least in our small little town. So yeah, everything was from scratch. I crawled up on the countertops and pulled the flour and the sugar and all the ingredients down. And yeah, really, that's how I learned my fractions.
Yeah. Well, you know what? What I've never actually thought about it, but like, yeah, what a great way to learn math, right?
Like, absolutely.
I'm sure there's homeschool. Shout out to all the homeschooling moms out there, but teaching their kids math through baking. Hello, like, why haven't I ever thought of that? It's probably because I don't have kids and I'm really bad at math. Oh my God, I remember I did an interview the other day and someone asked me what the first thing I made was as well. And I remember making box cakes and I go, but my first foray into cooking was actually Emeril Lagasse's butternut squash gnocchi.
That is quite the foray.
And yeah, and it's been the story of my life ever since, is that like anything that I've taught myself how to cook, it's always like the most grandiose thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's no problem. And then I end up crying over it and it ends up working out somehow. But yeah, but I remember watching him on television being like, oh my God, this butternut squash gnocchi looks so good in a brown butter sage sauce. And back then I didn't realize I didn't like butternut squash. I love it now. But back then, I didn't realize I didn't like it. And so I, all day long, flour all over my mother's kitchen. But yeah. So, these memories, and now you're taking me down memory lane as well. So, fine. You're on this road. You love cooking. And then all of a sudden, you are on this road to being a business consultant. What brought you through this business consulting back to cooking?
So the business consulting actually came out of necessity because I needed to work from home to be a parent and to be able to be married. So I left my big corporate job to start my own consulting firm. And throughout that, since I've been working from home, my wife's a nurse, and I always made a point that every day that I'm home, I make sure that I get up with her and I cook all of her food for the day. And I send her to work with enough food for the full 12-hour days. Many times she doesn't get to eat it, but at least she has it. And so during Christmas break, I had some time off of work, and I was just playing around with the time-lapse function on my camera and on my iPhone. I recorded a video and I threw it on TikTok. I thought the name My Butch Kitchen just sounded fun and it was descriptive of myself, of course. And I threw it on there and the response that I got was incredible. I didn't expect, you know, what happened. All of these people started asking me questions and it was a very organic experience. They would ask me questions, so I'd make a video in response. And then people would ask more questions. I got to the point where I could do a live, started cooking on lives, and it's just grown from there. It's been an absolutely wild journey. So it's been at the 21st of this month, it'll be 3 months since I started My Butch Kitchen.
Wow. All these, you know what? Every time I hear a story like this, which is so amazing because you shine so well and you obviously know your way around the kitchen and you're very talented. But every time I hear one of these stories, it always makes me feel like I'm not doing enough. I'm like, I'm not doing enough. All these people are doing all these amazing things while having all these amazing jobs, you know? And it's incredible. You, Grossi Pelosi, My Gay Bartender, all of you just killing it in this game. And I love that your wife is a nurse. Shout out to all the nurses out there, especially your wife. Talk to me about your family. Tell me about the beauty of your family for a minute.
I am blessed beyond belief, but my beautiful wife, Rachel, she is a nurse. She's a mom baby nurse up at the hospital here in Des Moines, the largest hospital in Des Moines. We have together four beautiful children. So I have three bonus kids.
Four children?
Four children. So yes. Our oldest is 26. She's married. We have one grandchild with another grandchild on the way. We have a 20-year-old who has finished a welding program. She's a full-time welder. Our son turns 18 in 2 weeks. He graduates from high school in May. And then my little girl, she turns 10 on the 25th.
Stunning. Wow. You really run the range here. How incredible. How incredible and yeah. How beautiful. You just reminded me of a Golden Girls quote. My son married a welder. Too bad she couldn't weld his zipper shut. They have 10 kids they can't afford.
Yeah, it's a really cool profession. And I'm super proud of all of our kids. They're all wonderful people.
Yeah, I mean, incredible. Absolutely incredible. Talk to me about the journey getting there, because I often say that it's important to the listener, because we never know who's listening, to see us shine in different ways. And our stories, right, are unique to each one of us. And yours is so unique and so beautiful. What was the journey like getting there, to marriage, to raising these kids? And what was it like before you got there?
You know, it's been a long road. I came out when I was 18 years old, in the middle of nowhere, Iowa. You know, I did not come out until I left for college. And I knew that, I mean, I grew up with an amazing family. I've never had any issues. My mom is a fierce, fierce woman. She's only 5 foot tall, but nobody gets in mom's way. She is the matriarch of all matriarchs. But the concern in regards to like how the rural community would deal with me being gay, it was a real concern. And it was scary. You know, I was gay in the 90s. I saw what happened. I have been in the clubs when people have thrown bricks through the wall. I have been in the clubs when people, skinheads would come in with billy clubs and bats. I've had to run to my car. You know, I have been there and seen things that I don't want my mom to know about. You know, it's things that when I hear about the violence, but you know, like what you were speaking about, it just really gets inside of me. And it just makes me wonder, where have those 30 years gone? And why aren't we better than that? You know, so, but I was lucky. You know, I was able to get the education. I was able to land that good job. I was able to make decisions for myself. You know, I had that opportunity. You know, I've got a master's degree. I was able to do that. So I'm one of the lucky ones, but I will tell you, and I'll tell all of your listeners, you know, especially the younger ones, when they say it gets better, that's not a lie. I'm 41. I'll be 42 in May, and my life has never been better.
Yes, yes. I just turned 40, and I also say, you know, it's really weird turning like, you know, a milestone birthday in a pandemic, and I've never felt better. I've never been busier. I've never been like so like secure in who I am and what is happening in the world around me, like just letting things go and trying, you know, and just and navigating through my life and making clear decisions and smart decisions. And yeah, it was a long journey there. And thank you for sharing that, because it's also why, at least myself, being a year or two younger than you, found it important, right, through the late 90s to go to the marriage protests. Been going to protests all my life, right? Granted, I haven't necessarily had the experience you had, but it's important to hear, and it's important to see that this is not over. Things have not changed.
No.
Things have not changed, right? Things are real shitty. We can say it. Shitty.
Oh, yes.
But there are certain things we have control over. And there's certain ways we can navigate. And if you're in a bad situation out there, right? And like, you may have to stick it through a little longer, right? But there's ways out. There's ways through, you know? And seeing people like you shine, right, is important to see.
You know, I've done a couple of videos about this in regards to the terminology. People because, you know, with my name, My Butch Kitchen, you know, I put it out there. It's like that Eminem song, tell me something that they don't know about me, you know, like, you know, throw it out there and be visible. I've had so many private messages, emails and whatnot from folks who are just coming out, young butch women who are just like, oh my gosh, seeing you out here and being so proud of who you are makes me feel better about who I, makes me know that it's okay to be me. And visibility matters. Like, we've been hearing this for the past year. It's kind of become a theme of sorts, you know, visibility, get out there. And that's why I feel, you know, part of my responsibility with My Butch Kitchen is not just to help teach people to cook, but to also be visible and be that force to stand up for those who don't yet have their voice.
Yeah, well, Harvey Milk said it years and years ago, out into the streets, come out of the closet, into the streets, because once they know who you are, right, and they know that you're their friends, their neighbors, and so on and so forth, there's no assumptions to be made because they know you, and it doesn't really change anything. And so talking about speaking on it and visibility, you actually recently posted a TikTok about the word butch, and I want you just to speak on it for the kids out here in case they missed it on TikTok, because it seemed like you were getting a little bit of flack for using the word butch.
Yeah, frequently I am asked about, butch, that's a negative term. No, butch means masculine in appearance, masculine in action. That fits me to a T. You know, societal norms have tried to put females particularly in a box. And guess what, honey? I am masculine in appearance. I am masculine in action. I am butch, and I am okay with that. You know, for lack of a better phrase, screw the societal norms, and I am who I am. Like, what's it matter?
Yeah, yeah, hello. You know who's not butch? Me.
Well, honey, they put you in a different box.
Honey, no one can put me in a box. Oh, plus this COVID weight, I wouldn't even fit in one if I tried. But I just learned what a chapstick lesbian was last week, too. So I feel like that's where I fall in the grand scheme of things. You know, a little pretty on the outside, rough on the inside.
That's right. Yeah, so my definition is just tomboy leveled up.
Yes, we love a level up here on In Yo Mouth. This is so much fun. I'm living, laughing, loving every minute of this. But I think now would be a great moment to take a little pause and introduce Sarah to my favorite part and your favorite part of the podcast. Are you ready, Sarah, for a little something we like to call Food News Update? Food News.
Ooh, honey.
You ain't ready,
girl. Spill the tea.
News update. Toronto restaurant naming menu after office supply so you can expense your meals.
That's brilliant. As a business owner, yes.
And also illegal. So please do not expense your stapler burger and blame me for it. Okay.
The IRS, you did not hear me say that.
Right, exactly. But it is hysterical. This is from blog2.com, whatever that is. But thank you, blog2. So, Sarah, a local Toronto restaurant is making things easier for those looking to expense lunch by naming various menu items after office supplies. Good Fortune Burger has begun offering receipts, R-E-C-Eats, get it? Receipts. Their renamed menu items disguised as a number of common office tools. Their Fortune Burger has become the basic steel stapler, and Parm Fries are also known as CPU wireless mouse.
Oh my gosh.
It's pretty brilliant, if I do say so myself.
If nothing else, the marketing wins.
I mean, honestly, we wanted an opportunity to put a smile on some people's faces and have them have a little bit of a giggle, says John Purdy, director of operations at Good Fortune Burger. While most people have found the redesigned menu as entertaining as intended, a few have raised concerns on how this could get employees who attempt to expense the menu in trouble. There's no malice intended in it. It's all just fun and games, Purdy continued. Isn't that...
It's brilliant marketing.
It really is. You can order these sneaky snacks yourself through Uber Eats and DoorDash from Good Fortune Burger's John and College locations. But this is Toronto-based, so shout out to all the Canadian listeners out there. I mean, so we have a wireless mouse, fries, and, you know, a stapler burger. I would want, like, the chicken fingers to be like the Rolodex. Remember Rolodexes?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Right?
My parents still have one.
Oh my God. My mom still has one of these. We were cleaning up and my mom still has one of those like old school address books where everything's tabbed out and
gosh. Like,
yeah. I was like, oh my God, who uses this anymore? But yep, she still does.
Oh wow.
Everything. Yeah, a Rolodex, like chicken fingers and, you know, a mimeograph, like, you know, chicken burger something. It has to be. I think the humor in it all is all in really old, you know, office supplies, like mimeographs and
carbon
paper, micro sheets, right? Or microfiche.
Yeah, remember? Microfiche.
Right? Is that the one you used to smell? Which was the one you used to smell? Because it used to come out hot. Do you remember that?
Yeah, so that would be the, I think that was printing off of the microfiche.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm having flashbacks to high school libraries.
Right? And with the projector, with the clear sheet that you'd write on, yep, and it would project the thing.
The overhead projectors,
yeah. A television on wheels is like the Happy Meal or something. Well, Good Fortune Burger, it seems that Sarah and I are here for this, and if you want to ship some across the border because we can't travel to you yet, we would gladly take it.
Absolutely.
Seafood fraud is wildly rampant, says new report. Have you heard of this? Seafood fraud? Yeah.
No. So
this is from Food and Wine magazine. Combining dozens of studies, The Guardian found over a third of seafood products were mislabeled.
How do you mislabel seafood?
I don't understand. No matter how often research shows that the seafood industry is overrun with fraud, we can't seem to get the issue under control, says Food and Wine magazine. This problem has been thoroughly documented, whether it's a 2017 study that found half of Los Angeles sushi wasn't what it was supposed to be, and a 2018 study that over a quarter of New York supermarket fish was mislabeled, or global reports from Oceana found about a fifth of all seafood globally and in the United States, respectively, were mislabeled. And yet, despite government action and the promise of technical solutions like detectors and databases, it's not getting better. Isn't that crazy?
This report seems fishy to me.
No, ma'am. No.
Sorry.
I do not accept. I mean, it's Food and Wine. We can trust Food and Wine magazine and The Guardian, right?
For sure.
Yeah,
I just had to be punny.
I mean, of course you did. Of the countries included, the United States was the third worst, with 38% of seafood mislabeled, behind only the United Kingdom and Canada, both of which had an appalling 55% mislabeling rate.
That's bananas.
That really, this blew my mind. You know?
That's wild.
It's a third of the restaurants had sold mislabeled seafood, with the odds of some menu items being authentic equal to a coin toss. A while ago on Food News Update, many moons ago, we did this report on how restaurants were using pig anus as a substitute for calamari.
If your listeners could see my jaw hit the floor, that's unbelievable.
You know, it's crazy. Are the shrimp I'm getting not shrimp? What are they?
Is it just a simple case of like, instead of mahi mahi, you're getting cod, or is it like?
Yeah, it's more with the simple fish. Says this. I mean, we can go on and on in this. Nor are fish always deliberately misabled, although a huge majority of substitutions involved lower priced fish replacing higher priced ones, indicating fraud rather than carelessness.
Yes.
Is what the Guardian says.
The almighty dollar.
Yep. Still the big takeaway from the Guardian's report is something anyone who has been following this issue probably already guessed. Seafood fraud is a problem nearly as vast as the ocean and proving especially difficult to navigate. Who knew?
I would have never thought about whether the fish that I'm purchasing is actually correct. Since I'm not a deep sea fisherman
a lot of fish? Are you a big fish eater?
I do love fish.
And that's not a lesbian joke.
No. I do love some fish tacos.
Here we go.
But the fish that we get in Iowa, you're at the mercy of, the person behind the counter.
Yeah.
You know, as to the freshness of it and whatnot. So, I'm definitely more of a bacon and steak kind of girl, but I do, when I can find it, and I do love to go out for sushi. Now it just makes me wonder what I'm actually getting.
Yeah, right. I mean, when I buy fish, if I buy fish, there's a fish market near me that has been in this Midtown neighborhood of Manhattan for a long time that I go to. And, something I've never understood, and maybe you can explain this to me, right? And I know a lot of chefs out there too, but they always say, if you walk into a fish market and it smells like fish, walk out because the fish isn't good. But what is it supposed to smell like? Because I walk into this fish market all the time, and you know what it smells like? Fish, because there's fish, like, coming out of the walls,
Yeah, it's supposed to smell like the ocean. The water of the ocean is what it's supposed to.
But and you know when what the water of the ocean smells like? Fish. and you know what happens in the water of the ocean? Fish poop in it.
Those are all facts, yes. But no, after fish has been sitting around, it's, what do they say? Fish and relatives, they're only good for 3 days.
Oh, my God.
They're only good to be around for 3 days or something like that. There's some kind of thing.
Okay. All right. Well.
Welcome to Middle America.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what, In Your Mouth listeners, next time you go out to shop for some cod or some mahi or maybe even some tuna or salmon, maybe you should really inspect it to make sure it is what it is, because I feel like Sarah and I are not here for some fish fraud. And finally, on a much more happy note, following best-selling success of red wine, Snoop Dogg launches new rosé with 19 Crimes.
That is amazing. I love Snoop Dogg. And I am so here for his friendship with Martha Stewart. I'm just going to say it.
Let's talk about it. I am all here for the friendship with Martha Stewart. I love that they show up on that show, or they used to. I don't know if it's still running. High as a kite, two of them.
Yes. Yeah, and they just get going. And it is the best. It's an incredible friendship that they have. Like, it's a true friendship. And it is so fun to watch.
That, and there's a lesson to be learned there, because Martha being an affluent white woman and Snoop Dogg growing up the way he did, right? Martha will say some things to him and he'll be like, "What?" And he goes, "No, we didn't have that up in the hood." Or we didn't, like, and it's the juxtaposition of these two cultures, these two different ways of growing up, these two vastly different people coming together and learning from each other that I find actually really beautiful. And the dynamic is hysterical.
Oh, gosh. I would love to sit down and cook with them, eat with them, share a bottle of Snoop's wine with them. I am That would be so much fun.
Have you had this 19 Crimes wine? 19 Crimes, not a sponsor of this podcast yet, but I'm a fan.
I haven't had it yet. I do need to go out and get a bottle, though. Definitely need to try it.
I don't know if they're still doing this, right? But you used to be able to hold up, like, the 19 Crimes app or whatnot, and, like, the prisoner on the bottle would... It was, like, this gimmick that they ran that was, like, kind of cute for a minute. But the wine is good. The wine is good. It's very, like, affordable. And if you just want something to, like, have in the evening or... You know, for lunchtime, if you're day drinking, sure.
Yeah, I'll definitely try that.
But just in time for summer, the Hip Hop Superstars partnership with the wine brand 19 Crimes launched Snoop Cali Rosé, which is a blend of Grenache and Zinfandel with notes of fresh raspberries, strawberries, and red cherries. This is from the Daily News. We did it big with 19 Crimes Cali Red, so you know we had to do it again. And this time I was thinking pink, Snoop Dogg said in the announcement. I can't wait for everyone to sip on my Snoop Cali Rosé and bring those fresh feels from spring into summer and beyond. I hope when you open a bottle of this wine, you take a little mind trip to my Cali home. This is how we rosé the Snoop Dogg way. Yes, you hear the horns honk if you love Snoop Dogg Rosé.
Right. They love it too.
Yes, you know what I was thinking, Sarah? I was thinking of Bow Wow Wow Yippee-Yo Rosé, Bow Wow Yippee-Yo Rosé. Right? Is that going to be the commercial?
19 Crimes, give him a holler. He's got the lyrics.
I got it down. Like, you know, I will artistic direct, not that I need to, but I'll just be on set with the idea.
There you go. I think it's an awesome idea.
I'm here for it. And if you want to send us a bottle, 19 Crimes, I am sure we are. Are you a wine drinker?
I am.
Okay, good. What's your preference?
So I do like a dry red.
Okay. A nice dry red. Heavy or light?
Heavy.
Heavy, like a nice bold, heavy red.
Full bodied, you know, just a great nose to it, nice and dry. Absolutely.
Yeah. Sounds like my last boyfriend, dry with a great nose. No. I don't even know where I was going with that. And with that, I think this is a great way to end Food News Update. Take that one to your nurse wife. You're going to be like, so honey, I just don't know what happened, but here's the food news that I learned today.
She's going to love it. I know she's chomping at the bit to hear how it all went.
That's great. Speaking of how it went, talk to me about this TikTok fame. What's been your like most popular kind of dish out there?
So the first thing that I cooked that hit a million views was me simply baking bacon. Baking bacon. So
it's the only way to make bacon
on the sheet tray. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that hit a million views. And then recently, a taco pie recipe, something that my mom made the whole time I was growing up. It's, you know, just a homey, feed the family type of dish. I think that's somewhere around 1.2, 1.3 million views as well.
Wow, excuse me. Let me pick up these numbers you just dropped.
You know, you have to remember, I'm a business nerd. So, you know, numbers, you know, they just kind of stick in my head.
Yeah. What's your most asked question?
My most asked question is if I'm classically trained. Everybody wants to know how I got into cooking and if I'm actually a chef.
All right. And your answer is?
No, I'm not classically trained. I'm definitely just a home cook. You know, I say that my food aesthetic is, you know, pub food elevated, diner food elevated. But I have a real passion for cooking. And, you know, I actually almost did, but I tallied back and forth between going and getting my MBA or going to culinary school. MBA went out.
Yeah, there's something to be said about being home trained. Shout out to all the chefs who put in their hours and hours and hours, whether in school or came up through the kitchen from dishwasher to garmanger to head chef. Shout out to you all out there, because that is a dedication that I will never know. Like that's something else. But like, I always say there's a different kind of fearlessness being home trained as opposed to the rigidness of, you know, this sauce has to be like this and this is the classical way to do this. And that has its place and is delicious in itself. But like home trained people like you and me, I think can stand out a little different just because it's like, well, yeah, I wasn't like, I'm not so steadfast in this is the way this needs to be because I'm just learning like you guys are learning out, like you folks, are learning out there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm with you 100%. The folks that have the classically trained chefs, I have the utmost respect for.
Absolutely.
You know, my goal is to take what they do and all the hard work that they've put in and make it accessible to the home cook.
Amen.
So that more people get in the kitchen.
Amen. Amen. You know, and some people, it's surprising to me that some people out there just don't realize that, like, some of these things that you are doing out there, that I'm doing out there, that I see a lot of my new friends and my new family from this podcast doing out there, people are like, oh, I never knew this was that easy. Or, you know, it's like putting bacon on a tray and throwing it into the oven, right? Less mess, crispy bacon. Mind blown. And it's just like, well, yeah, this can be accessible. This can be fun. We can see cooking, right? Oh my God, to bring it all the way full circle, beyond its service as well, you know?
Yeah. As
like we can find the joy in cooking. We can find, you know, shout out to you, Dr. J, the Zen and gratitude in cooking. We can find the love and the fun in cooking if we see it beyond its service and not see it as this like major task. You know, not everything has to be, you know, croquembouches and beef wellingtons.
Yeah. Good food doesn't have to be hard.
Yes. But you know when it has to be hard? No one, because
ice cubes.
Yes, and I recently, you know what? You blew my mind too with the ice cube trick in the freezer. Even though, like I said, I live in 120 square feet, so I have a short and fat refrigerator. Not that I'm body shaming my refrigerator here, right? She's a short, you know, plus size beauty queen is what she is. So I don't have a lot of freezer space, so I don't necessarily know if I can do that ice cube trick. But can you tell the people out there the ice cube trick?
Yeah, so it's simply just a way to know if your freezer is going bad, if something's going wrong with the condenser. So I simply put an ice cube on just a, you know, you can put it on a plate. I put mine on a lid of a cottage cheese container that I had laying around. And if it melts, because I do travel a lot, if it melts, it'll freeze, you know, flat on there. And I will know that something happened and I should probably really take a close look at, you know, what I have left in my freezer. Another good way is just to throw a penny on top, you know, freeze a shot glass of water, throw a penny on top. And, you know, if it gets to the bottom and then refreezes, you know that something happened as well.
Oh, you know, it's that trick too that I never would have thought of if I had a normal size, you know, a different size, to not shame my refrigerator now because I'm on this track, that I was like, I would have never thought of. And I was like, how brilliant is this? Like, oh my God, like, yeah, that makes 100% like sense. And when I saw that video, I was like, wow. Right? I'm obviously a fan. If you had one tip out there to give new cooks, people just starting out, or people kind of wanting to hop on the adventure or the My Butch Kitchen train, what would that one tip be?
If you're going to be chopping anything at all, make sure your knives are always sharp. There's nothing more dangerous than a dull knife.
Yes. Yes. There's nothing more dangerous than a dull knife or a dull date. And
that too.
Who's going on dates anymore? I'm all over the place today. But oh my God, this has been such a joy. Tell the kids what's next for you.
So I actually just before I came on, I just secured a date to be doing a cooking show for the MacArthur Library in Maine. So I'm going to be teaching teens and tweens. I'm going to be doing what I'm calling three meals in a microwave. So I'm hoping to introduce some very simple cooking practices to these young people, and hoping to, you know, get them, start getting them interested in cooking and start getting them to be a little bit more self-sufficient.
I love that. Oh my God, that's so beautiful. And I hear you have a YouTube channel coming out as well.
Yes, that's going to be launched tomorrow. So I'll, a little bit later today, I'll be recording my intro for that. And then I will be posting my first video, my first how-to full length on YouTube on Saturday.
That's incredible. Congrats. You're doing all the things, and it's really, really amazing. And you just reminded me of a final question I want to ask you here, because you're teaching, you're literally teaching the kids coming up soon, right? Did your mom ever teach you like one important like kitchen rule?
It's all about the cross-contamination. Make sure that your meat, you know, if you're using ground beef, if you're chopping, you know, meat, make sure you use a different cutting board and a different knife.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Do not cross-contaminate. That was always drilled into my head.
No, not in my mom's Puerto Rican kitchen. We did things old school, and everything was just everywhere clean, but it was just like, this cutting board cuts everything, you know, because there wasn't room for like 40 cutting boards growing up either.
Yeah.
You know, just in teaching the kids, if I can impart something to you that my mom taught me, was to clean as you go, because I was a very messy cook. And now that I live in a very tiny space, there's no option. And it was like, I was like, oh my God, thank God my mother taught me to clean as I go. Like, you know, you throw this in the pot, right? And that goes in the thing. And while you're waiting for this, you know, you might as well do these dishes, right? So that way, it's not bigger. It's not a bigger mess. And you're not like creating like this ginormous mess. And it doesn't feel so overwhelming at the end, you know.
And Rachel would hope that I would take that advice as well.
Listen, I wrote a song about it. You gotta clean as you go. So when the guests come, they'll never know. You gotta clean as you go and leave less mess for later on. Yeah. And then the dancing boys come out. You gotta clean as you go.
I love it. I can totally see it now.
Right? It's a whole show.
Next off Broadway.
Listen, I already went down that road. Maybe I'll go back one day. Oh my God. Shout out to all the Broadway kids out there too, that Broadway's been shut down for just over a year these days. My heart goes out to you. You know, we hope you're surviving out there and thriving. We miss you, and we can't wait to have you back, because entertainment has definitely carried us through this pandemic, and we need those people to shine, and we need their creative souls. Oh my God, this has been so great, and I loved connecting with you. I was so excited to have you on, and I'm even more excited now that we've connected. So thank you so much for coming on and giving me of your time today. Can you please let everyone know where they can find you, give them all the handles, the websites, the YouTube channel, give them everything.
Hey, everyone. So number one, thank you for having me on. You can find me at My Butch Kitchen. That's my handle on Instagram, on YouTube, and TikTok. And my website is mybutchkitchen.com.
I mean, it couldn't be more simple. And I hear there's a little birdie told me that there's merch on the way. And you know she's a merch queen. So I love a good merch moment. Speaking of merch, right? Once you dive deep into the catalog of My Butch Kitchen, and when she comes out with merch, buy all of that, you can find the In Your Mouth merch and go from fan, to super fan if you go to themunoz.com/mouth merch. There's some new stuff. I know I've been promising new stuff, but there's new stuff coming. I just got to get on it. You know, it's a lot. You know, I'm doing a lot these days. and Sarah could attest, like, you know, to be punny, there's a lot of hands and a lot of pots right now that you got to keep stirring things, you know? And it's not, sometimes it's not easy.
It's not easy, but you're nailing it, man.
And so are you. So are you. And I can't thank you enough for being on here. In Your Mouth, listeners, what a great day it has been today. I need you to go out there and do something nice for somebody. You know, even if it's just saying, hi, how are you, to the Starbucks drive-through people, or, you know, giving a little extra tip to the pizza delivery guy, or I don't know, just go out there and, you know what, spread a little kindness, because it domino effects. And I really, really, truly believe that. This has been such a great day and such a great episode. And I want to take a moment just to mention the One Star Podcast Network, right? Y'all know I'm part of a podcast network of niche food podcasts out there, right? There's about 6 or 7 of us that we've all come together as a village, as a community, to support each other, to push each other forward, right? To, you know, to let everybody know about us in different veins. And one podcast that's part of the podcast network is James Beard Award-winning Copper and Heat. And they have just come out with their new trailer called Pre-Shift. I want to play it for you now. It's a quick, like, 40 seconds. Why don't you take a listen and go support them if you love it. Take a listen right now. Yeah.
Working in restaurants has always been hard. But now it's even harder. Pre-Shift is here to help you navigate the unique challenges that restaurant workers face, and have always faced, that are now made even worse by the pandemic. We've spent the last several months talking to experts so we could bring you a season with practical tips, tools, and resources. We got all sorts of tips for some of the trickiest work situations, from the challenges with interpersonal communication.
Conflict is not a bad thing, first of all.
I know we don't like to brag on ourselves, but that is exactly what you're doing when you're negotiating a salary.
Feedback is so tough in the service industry because it's so fast-paced.
To advocacy and collective action.
Because it has gotten so, so bad, you have to speak up.
To me, privilege is having access to something that is not readily available to everyone else.
Equity is fairness. Equality is equal portions.
All the way to striking out on your own.
And what I want to encourage young entrepreneurs or freelancers or whatever is, like, rules are good. They're great for structure. And what I tend to do with them, like recipes, is look at them and choose what works for me. It's really about understanding your value system and your own purpose.
Pre-Shift by Copper and Heat. Subscribe now in your favorite podcast app.
Wasn't that great? Oh my God, go show them all the love too. They're amazing out there. Shout out to you, Copper and Heat. You're doing all the things. They're also supporting me in the same way. And like I said, you know, it goes on with that paying it forward. It takes a village. And with that, I'm just going to leave you with saying thank you for listening to In Your Mouth.